verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9. As we continue on Wednesdays, the theme in God's timing, I want us to think about this evening. Change is always possible. Neither success or failure is final. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and beginning at verse 9, the Bible says, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your love and your mercy. We thank you for your direction in our lives. And Lord, as we look at these principles found in your word, I pray you'd help us to live by them. Help us, Lord, focus on you in all that we do. And Lord, wherever we may falter or fail, I pray you'd help us to get back up to serve you. Lord, again this evening, we pray if there's someone here who does not know you as a personal Lord and Savior, we pray this be the night they come to trust in you. And Lord, we pray for each and every believer this evening, Lord, work in their hearts. Help them to be what they ought to be. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Changes are bound to occur in one's life. Whether good or bad, they are likely to happen to any one of us. No one is immune. We all face times of victory in the Christian life, and we face times of failure. But they are never permanent. The Bible says in Philippians 3:12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." As Christians, we need to learn never to become complacent in the Christian life. It needs to be done day by day. If we're going to move forward, we cannot focus on the past. If we're going to be doing what we ought to do, we can't be focusing on failures or on victories. We need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. The practices of the Old Testament were written for our example so that we don't do the same things. We read about that. God's word gives us light. God's word gives us direction. It enables us to be what we ought to be and do what we need to do. The Christian life is made up of daily choices, and we need to make the right ones every day. We do this by not focusing on our past failures and past victories. We should be thankful for the victories, but we shouldn't settle for them. We want to be always moving forward, pressing towards the mark in the Christian life, pressing forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. As we consider change is always possible, neither failure or success is final. First, I want us to consider this evening, don't be satisfied with the present. Don't be satisfied with the present. We are not to look at our present destination as final. Philippians 3:12 says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." The work of God is for you here and now and not in the past. And it's for moving forward, not what is or could be, but it's about doing what God wants us to do. If you're in a current place that is away from God, don't settle for it. Letter A. If you're in a current place that is away from God, don't settle for it. Press forward. Past can be either success or failures. And maybe your past right now is a place of failure, where you're not where you ought to be, you're not doing what you ought to do, and you know things in your life are not right before God. The Bible gives us the answer for that problem. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. God's will for you, if you're caught up in failure right now, is to confess it and move forward. To let go of it and let God forgive you and move forward by the grace of God. No matter how dark your circumstances are as a result of your doings, all you need to do is forget what has been done and do now what needs to be done. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. The importance of understanding your failure and asking God to forgive you is getting back up again. The Bible says the just man falleth down seven times and riseth up again. The Bible says that God remembers we're but flesh. God knows who we are. We're sinners saved by grace. It's not making excuse for sin, but it's realizing the fact that we do sin. And this is how we are to deal with our sin. When we fail and we falter in the Christian life, we don't get caught up in it. We don't get to the point where we say there's no point in trying because I know I'm just going to fail. The Bible says when you fall, get back up. You do it again. David fell into the sin of committing adultery with Bathsheba and murdering her husband by placing him in a dangerous place of battle to cover up his tracks. Yet David confessed his sin and moved forward. So no matter how bad you may think you are in your Christian life and what you have done that is wrong and where you may have faltered, where you're failing right now, the Bible gives us examples of men who've gone before us. Men in the Bible who did wrong things, but they dealt with it the right way. Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 51. Psalm 51, we'll begin reading in verse 1 in just a moment. Psalm 51, and we'll begin reading verse 1 in just a moment. Psalm 51 is a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. In this passage of scripture, the Bible says the following, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. After his sin, David found forgiveness with the Lord. David understood the importance of confessing sin for what it was and admitting what he did that was wrong in his life. And he trusted in the mercies of God. He trusted in God's forgiveness. He looked to God for the answer of what he needed to do. If you want to see more people who failed and yet move forward in their Christian life, read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible gives us examples of people who fail but move forward because they get things right with God. Their fellowship is restored. Has nothing to do with their salvation. It has everything to do with their fellowship and their interaction with God. And as a Christian, when you fail, get back up and move forward. Don't get stuck in your failures. Move forward for the Lord. Secondly, if you're currently in a right place with God, don't get stuck in your victory. Don't get stuck in your victory. Our mountaintops often become the places of failure in the Christian life. And it doesn't have to be this way. So many times we feel like everything is going right and the Lord's working in our lives and we're just going forward and we get caught up in the victories instead of looking to the God who gave us the victory. We get caught up in that mountaintop experience and we begin to feel lifted up with a little bit of pride. We feel like we have done something special. Or it is because of our own strength we're able to do these things. But God tells us we should never get caught up in the victories of life. In Philippians 3:13, the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Victories are to be enjoyed, but they are not the end. When you accomplish a great thing for God, when you get to be used of the Lord in the mighty way, as long as you're here on this earth, that victory is not the end. Always remember to be humble in the sight of the Lord. When we remember we are but flesh and are weak, and we lean on the Lord for the strength that only he can give us to move forward, then we're in the right place. When we understand it's not by power, not but by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, when we understand victory is not what we glorify God, then we're able to keep pressing forward. We then understand the importance of being humble. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh for this very reason. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll begin reading it in verse number 6, 2 Corinthians 12. And we'll begin reading in verse number 6. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul says, I've been given a pretty good life. I gained many revelations. I've been blessed with a lot of things, and God gave me a thorn in the flesh. And he said, there was an important reason for this. It was given to me so that my trust would remain strong in the Lord. That I wouldn't be glorying in what I've done, but I'd be glorying in what God is doing. He says, I take pleasure. He takes pleasure in infirmities, physical weaknesses, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. When we get to the point in our lives as Christians where we realize we can't do this, we're in the right place. Because then we realize the importance of going to God in prayer. Taking the time to ask God, the one who blesses our life, bless our day, bless what needs to be done. And not trying to do things in our own strength, but trusting God that he'll do it through us by his grace. Our strength is never found in what we have accomplished. It's not what I've done. It's always found in God. God will give us reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses. He gives us these things so we don't fall into pride and end up in the place where we can't be used of God the way he wants to use us. We are strongest when we feel the weakest, because that is how things are done in the Christian life. It's done by God and not by our power. And secondly, this evening, keep your eyes on the mark for the prize in Christ Jesus. This is my second point and my final point. We always need to be moving forward with the goal of doing God's will. God's will is not found in the past. God's will is found daily in the moment, right now. The Bible says it in Psalm 5:3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Psalm 55, verse 17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Early and throughout the day, we need to keep our focus on the Lord to maintain our walk with the Lord. It's a moment by moment thing. Early in the morning and throughout the day, in the afternoon and in the evening, we always need to reevaluate where our focus is. Is our focus on doing what God wants us to do? The time for slip up is when I get up. And what I mean by that, it's easy for us to fall into the wrong path in life. It's easy for us to get focused on the wrong things. And our goal is to keep focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we go to battle, and we are in a battle, and we battle against the devil, we battle against this world, we battle against ourselves. If we go to battle in our own strength, we'll never have the victory that God wants us to have. And we find this truth in the book of Luke. Turn the book of Luke to chapter 22, and we'll begin reading in verse 39. Luke 22 and verse number 39. I'll read 39 and following. Luke 22:39 states, and he came out and went as he wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them above stones cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and as his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Victory over the battles in our life is found in prayer. Christ said, why are you asleep? There's a battle going on. You need to be involved in the prayer or else you're going to fall into temptation. If you think about the Christian life, people who seem to have it all, but yet they fall off to the wayside. There are some people you think they're not going to be able to accomplish that much in their life. Look at them, but yet they're always faithful. And we look at people's lives and how things go and what will happen in certain people's lives, and we wonder, why did so-and-so ever give up on his faith? Why do these things happen to certain people? It begins when people turn their backs on Christianity, they first turn their back on prayer. They weren't standing, taking the time to speak to the Lord in prayer. They might have been willing in their flesh. They might have had great expectations of what they were going to do. They really, truly believed and desired to do what needed to be done. But your success as Christian life will be found at the altar, not in your determination. They will be found in your tears poured out before the Lord and not in your skills. Success is not found in your abilities. Success is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having him where he needs to be in your life. He needs to be your focus. That way, when you look back at your past and you see your failures, and you know you're not where you need to be, you confess it and you move forward because you know that's what the Lord wants you to do. That's why when you look back and you see the victories, what God has done, you don't say, well, look at what I've done, and then end up just giving up on it all, because your focus is on the Lord and what you need to do. Failure and success are never final because every day is a new day with new choices. Your faults of yesterday are to be confessed to God and left there as you move forward. Your successes are to be praises that are brought to God and left there as you move forward. You will only move forward in the right way, in the right direction, when you're depending upon Jesus. It's not about what you can do. It's about what God can do. We show our dependence in him by our praying to him and obeying his word of instruction one day at a time. Don't get stuck in the past. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Press forward to the mark. Do what God wants you to do and follow Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank